they
spent
paid
a whole lot of money.
Their $100 million ticket didn't come through.
How many did they really have? I mean, they had Kershaw. After that, what? You can't put it all on, you know, on his back.
Check this out. You're going to pay $100 million to somebody? I don't want to hear about nobody else. Oral Hershiser was their only pitcher back in the day. And he was winning. They may have lost a series, but he won three of them damn games and almost won four.
He
was unhittable. So I don't want to hear that, bro.
At the end of the day, you're pitching. So it's not a matter of you left the game, you pitched 7-8 innings, and then your bullpen gave it up or whatever.
Back then they was
going 7-8 innings, like starting pitches. I mean, I don't know. They came up with a pitch count.
You pay a guy $100 million and he can't get you to the 8th inning.
For all you parents, you know, that's listening, you have kids or nephews or whoever, friends that you know, is kind of in this boat, or not in this boat, but when you
there's a lot of kids in
want
that
to make that jump. Mm-hmm. First of all, prep school. You don't need prep school to be seen. Okay, so let me just dispel that whole thing. So I think that's the thing where we're going wrong. You don't need prep school to make yourself visible. The point is that if you're on JV, you got the summer to get better, improve, work on your game. That's what you need to be doing, because, you know, boys, it's a little bit different, you know, and I'm speaking from experience in terms of as far as the female side. Girls, it's a little bit, unless you just suck, you're going to be on JV for like your whole high school career. You just have to be terrible. You know, girls is a bit different. So, you know, if you're at least halfway decent, they'll move you. You know, it may be 2 years or something like that, but you'll kind of get there. Boys are a little bit different. You know, I went to school with cats who can ball, and because the varsity had some players, they were maybe on JV for maybe 2 years, you know, but they was balling. And in the summer, they playing against the varsity kids, you know, stuff like that. So for boys, you got to be extra good. So if you're not on the varsity playing at that level, and you're trying to make the jump to go to prep school, who's looking at you? They don't have time for that.
Exactly. They ain't got
so
no time for that.
You don't need prep school to be seen. You just got to get better. And I think that's what people, I think parents, you know, stop allowing your kids, and you as well, parents, don't listen to what other parents are saying. Your child in this situation is completely different than yours. Pay attention to what your kid is doing. He needs to get better. He needs to improve. So work on that. Don't worry about, oh, his friend, he's going to this prep school and he's looking at this private school. It's not going to serve its purpose, because you keep chasing the friends. And you know what's going to happen at the end of the day, when it's time for college time, the friend is going to be the one that gets that scholarship somewhere, and y'all going to be left holding a bag, because y'all, you know, you making bad decisions, because it's not well thought out.
I'm going to tell you something. Wait, I got a quick story, too, about the I'll say in downtown Philly, in the market, they got the Amish people that got the little booth. They got a booth down in there, in the market down there. Yeah, they make some real good chicken, man. You'd be surprised, man.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Really?
I
cannot.
All right, okay. He asked me about Philly. I'm telling you about Philly.
They make really good chicken. They serve it with water.
Right.
They use a watermelon Kool-Aid.
Nah, no watermelon cool. Yeah. I'm talking about the chicken, man. They made some good chicken. The Amish chicken. Oh, yo, Jamal,
come on,
man. If you go back to Philly, no, seriously, go to Market. 10th is down by the Greyhound station. 10th and Market over there. Oh, man. I'm telling you, man. Listen. I went to see you wrong.
They
some damn good chicken.
What else they got coming up? I can't even.
I'm talking about Philly. All right, but let me go back to Philly.
You're not worth the money you've been paid to do. You robbing the Knicks. You robbing the town. You ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You can't get meetings with free agents. You can't do shit. You washed up, man. That's what it is. So don't try to fucking run. You trying to fucking run Carmelo Anthony out of town to save your fucking face for the dude that you drafted. Fuck out of here. Take your old ass and get the fuck out of New York and beat it, man. We don't need this shit. We need somebody who's dedicated to New York, man. He's not dedicated to New York. And if you're a Knicks fan, you should know that. I'm tired of hearing Knicks fans talk about, yo, man, Phil ain't doing shit. Stop talking to me about Phil. I don't hear shit about Phil. Phil ain't doing shit for the Knicks.
I'm not angry at them. I'm angry at the system.
Fuck that. I'm not waving my no-trade clause. I'm not going no fucking where. I'm staying here. You'll be gone before I'm gone. Fuck that. I ain't going nowhere. This is where I'm going to be at. Fuck that shit. Don't let them run you out of town. Fuck that. I'm glad Cleveland was like, no. I'm glad the owner didn't want to pay, don't want to help LeBron team up with his man. I'm glad for that. Good. You better cut that shit out and get the hell out of town.
Yeah.
Word fuck that shit. Yo.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yo.
Black on black crime is 40%. The white victims of the black violent offender is 39%. So what does that tell you? That black people killing people, irregardless of your race. So if you want to say that the black man is dangerous, okay, go ahead. You want to say that? I mean, I have other statistics that would tell you that that's propaganda too, in comparison to the white man, who white on white crime is 82%. So a white man, a violent white man, is going to go out and harm a white man 82% of the time. But I'm supposed to listen to Ray Lewis tell me that the problems in the black community is black on black crime, even though it's at 40%. There's so many more things that's wrong in the black community other than crime. So people like him, Richard Sherman, I mean, all you dudes, I don't understand your mentality when you spewing that I call it bullshit, because you really just talking propaganda, because 40% don't lie. Like people tell me all day, numbers don't lie. So if black on black crime is 40%, what the hell are you talking to me about it if white on white crime is 82%? And no, they don't have anything to do with each other. But obviously that's not our main issue in the black community. So Ray Lewis, Richard Sherman, all you people out there who be towing the line on that dumb shit, this is for you.
What the fuck are you talking about?
How you feel about that Ray Lewis video? Talk to me, man. Let's get somebody on the line. So we got somebody on the line. Let's so they can listen in. What's your name? Who you calling from?
Y'all know who this is.
Jamal, what's going on?
What's going on, brother?
Much.
I was sitting here watching rain football, baby. So
just thought I'd
tune in with y'all. You know how it is.
It's all good. We talking about a football player right now who probably, you know, off his meds. You know, that antler got side effects.
Oh, man.
Hey, I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't know if he got concussions or whatever he got, bro. I don't know. He got
CTE or something.
Got his brain.
Yeah, but
check
it out, though, bro. He talk about black-on-black crime, but he had blood on his shirt in the limo. Man, he need to shut the hell up.
Like, what did you do? And, you know, I want to make this perfectly clear. Ray Lewis is my dude because, you know, I mess with him since Miami. And the Ravens is like my second, one of my football teams, because, you know what I'm saying? But he jumped out the window right now. Bro, you jumped out the window with the 9-minute video sounding like Martin Luther King. And, I mean, you throwing out all these numbers. I mean, bro, you're Ray Lewis. If you really, you know what I mean, you really cared and was only like that, it's nothing for you to reach out to the Baltimore chapter of Black Lives. There's nothing for you to reach out to the Chicago chapter of Black Lives. And personally, and on the phone, instead of putting this shit on social media that you call the devil's playground. You mm-hmm. just call it the devil's playground, but here you are for 9 minutes on it talking shit and without having even spoken to anybody in Black Lives Matter to ask them what's the function of your cause? What's going on? This, that, and the third. I'm like, come on, bro. You got to do better than that, man. You can't just get on, just start saying shit on social media and act like, you're gonna fool them other cats that's deaf, dumb, and blind, but you ain't gonna fool the cats that got knowledge itself, and they gonna see through this bullshit. Like, first of all, you know what I'm saying? You sitting there talking Black Lives, some people say it wasn't an attack. I'm like, it is an attack. You mentioned them. That's what they running with. You as a Black man, and you said as a Black man that you know that our lives matter, then what are you on playing on a 9-minute video rant about what are they doing? You should know what they're doing. If you picked up the phone and called them, if you went down to the office and seen them, that's all you got to do, because you're a person in a position that you can make changes happen. You can make something happen. You know what I'm saying? If you feel that strongly about it, then you can do something. You're in a position where you can do something and make them affect lives. But instead, you go on Facebook with a 9-minute viral, so you're going to go viral, and that's all they're talking about. Oh, Ray Lewis attacks, Black Lives Matter movement. Where are you at now? Now everybody's coming at you. Man, you ain't got no more videos for us to see. You ain't got nothing else to talk about. I mean, come on. We can get nasty. I can get nasty like my man C just did and be like, yo, you murdered somebody that way. You was there when a Black man got murdered.
Rob, you know what it is, Rob.
What retribution are you giving to that man's family?
Okay. So when you think about it like this, okay, we know the racism is there. And we know that it's hard for us to move up, at the administrative level. But we're major players at the playing level. We get paid like a job. Yeah, take $10 million. I know. Listen, I don't make millions. So to try to equate what I do with a multi-million-dollar athlete, it really doesn't work. But when you're talking dollars and cents, we're just talking about a billionaire paying a millionaire paying a thousandaire, and down on the line. So if you're the entertainment piece, like in the circus, people come out and they watch you, and you're the lowest paid in terms of the playing field, because that's a high level.
Right.
You're not part of the concession stands and things. Those are the people who are making money for the owner. You're just there to run, jump, tap dance, because that's the coach.
Fall.
Tap dance up the sideline.
Yeah.
Flop around. And make noise, squawk, the ones who just talk the whole game but don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a pawn in a bigger game. But for those who do want to try to make it in sports and try to overlook and overcome the racism, it's very difficult. I mean, it's a roadblock, and it's one that, we just tend to ignore. Like, but how can you ignore the facts, the numbers? Like, you got a league with 475 players, roundabouts, and at least 300 of them are Black, but you only got 6 Black coaches.
Yeah.
6 Black head coaches. You got 1 owner. I mean, in football, we're talking about 4 head coaches. And college football, that's a straight-up plantation model.
Definitely.
Even though, come on, like, you working for 3 years. I mean, when they get out the league, they broke in 3 years. That's ridiculous.
Definitely.
How is that not slavery?
Yeah.
How is that not equatable to slavery? And I'm not talking, or indentured servitude, whatever politically correct term you want to use. The bottom line is, it's wrong. When billionaires, they make billions on the Super Bowl. And you ain't getting no money, no real money. So I'm not saying, listen, I'm not on Josh Smith's side or Latrell Sprewell. Your ass made $100 million. I think you could take care of your family. All
right?
I'm not. I don't feel sorry for them. But what I am saying is that if they wanted to make a move up into the front office realm, very limited for them.
Right.
And especially for first time head coaches, I think since 1995. There have been 5 non-player Black coaches that got hired with no experience, like first-time head coaches, since 1995. There have been 5.